You do it live. You do it live. You do it live. You do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor? Neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. What this is me trying to talk over Game 6. It's not going to go well. We're going to try our best, though. Good news, Michelle Bachmann's in the race, everybody. Can we clap for Michelle Bachmann? She's fancy. I saw Michelle Bachmann the first time I visited this fair city, Washington, D.C., where you're at right now. She was essentially leading a Tea Party rally, and she introduced a hip-hop artist whose chorus of his only song was, "We're not racists." That makes you a racist. We did this show live yesterday. We did it live every night. We did it with cameras. That was a weird experience. I learned a lot about myself when there's a camera on me, and that's you have to know every single thing I'm thinking. That's not a good thing. I said this is weird about 18 times in the course of 18 minutes, which made things much, much, much worse. Almost as bad as Michelle Bachmann is as a human being. She went to Oral Roberts University. You know what that is? That's the worst of community colleges. They'll let anybody in. They don't have a curriculum whatsoever. Do you agree with me? Here's your degree. Isn't that kind of great? I want to teach at Oral Roberts University. If anyone has any connections in the talk show program at Oral Roberts University, let me know. I had a complaint earlier tonight. A good friend of mine had a reverse intervention and said, the show's not the same anymore because you're not drunk anymore. And I said, that's not fair. That's unfair. I could do this sober, tipsy, drunk, whatever. I could do it. I'm just as angry. And that's the problem. I'm just as angry. The flower on my lapel tonight is a little bit too high. That makes me angry. That doesn't make sense. Those four people over there having a fantastic time enjoying each other's company. That's making me angry right now. The fact that the Blackhawks aren't in the playoffs, even though the Blackhawks do not pay my salary, makes me angry. This doesn't make any sense. I did yoga today. Why? I don't know. It's supposed to make me less angry. Guess what? I ate a whole pound of pasta to negate the yoga. I ended up gaining weight. How is that good? See, I could do this sober. I could do better. You're right. Oh, Michelle Bachmann. You think if Michelle Bachmann was fat, she'd get anywhere? Really? Okay, good. The answer was no from the crowd. I learned a lot about Michelle Bachmann. I hate politics now. I used to be a very, very political person. The reason why I bring that up is because someone that's on our show tonight is actually, like, making a difference in the world. And to me, that blows my mind. But I grew up as a Bad Religion fan thinking, oh, I could get into politics. But I realized if I was just racist, I'd be, like, top of the Tea Party. It'd be fantastic. Because there's not enough people that are living in any cities that are in the Tea Party. Because I know this is a big Tea Party bar, and I wanted to just connect with the crowd here. Tea Party people like to drink at bars with eclectic walls. We're like the indie TGI Fridays at this place. I love this place. We only have one more show here, and then we move to the Wonderland Ballroom. It's going to be a not weird transition whatsoever, because it's the same owners. So that's just a thing that's happening. There's not enough college reunions tonight, usually in this bar. There's one table reconnecting over times that they don't really remember that weren't really that good. And then they watch the Geico commercials with the cavemen, not with the gecko. Once again, Gecko, if you can talk, stop shelling for car insurance. You could be top of the Tea Party. I should get that tattooed on me. Top of the Tea Party. Nope. I won't do that. We do have a fantastic show tonight. We are missing one key member of the You, Me, Them, Everybody family. That's Ian Walters. I'm going to assume he's dead because it makes me less angry. Ian is summer sick, which means he's been drinking like a month straight and had to not do the show tonight. So we have PJ here instead running sound because to me that's an equal replacement. A sober man running sound is an equal replacement for music. Why are you sober? Because he hasn't drank enough yet. Okay. This is turning into a bad intervention for the entire world. I'm so sorry, Mark. You're going to hate me. Okay, we have a fantastic show tonight. We have Mark Anderson. Please put your hands together for Mark. That's right. We have stand-up comedy from Aaron Ryan. Please put your hands together for Aaron. All the way from Chicago, the only equally corrupt city in this great nation, we have Megan Gailey. Please put your hands together for Megan. That's right. And close the night, we have music from Patrick Kagongo. Please put your hands together for Patrick. PJ, could you play something while I walk 3 feet away?
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though, so why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
Coming to the stage, he's part of We Are Family DC and Positive Force DC. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Mark Anderson, everybody. Mark Anderson. Okay, PJ, here's the thing. When you do sound, you don't clap along with the crowd. You just play the song, okay? Fantastic, because you don't have a mic, so you can't respond. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Fantastic. You were highly recommended to me, and I was told to essentially treat you with kid gloves because you are someone I should actually respect. I don't have a lot of those guests on my show. I usually have writers and artist folk, which means they're just here for the free booze. Are you here for the free booze?
I don't drink, so...
That's right, you don't. Okay, I wanted to bring this up because you were part of Positive Force DC.
Indeed.
What is Positive Force DC?
It's a punk activist collective that has operated here in Washington, D.C. since the year 1985, which is kind of an indication that I've become a middle-aged man somewhere along my youth rebel trajectory.
Someone said Back to the Future. I have to stop listening to the crowd. You moved to D.C. in 1984.
I did.
Positive Force was started in 85. Were you part of that foundation?
I was, yeah.
Why did you decide to do this?
Well, I came to Washington, D.C. as someone who had been inspired to be a student and an activist because of rock music, particularly punk rock music.
Any specific bands?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Clash, X-Ray Specs, Sex Pistols, Stiff Little Fingers, The Avengers, The Dills, Bad Brains, Dead Kennedys, folks like that.
Okay. But you moved here for school, essentially, yet you're still here. Why did you stay?
Well, because it turned out that the Washington, D.C. community was actually a very fascinating, rich, if somewhat heartbreaking place. And I found a way to feel at home here, which is a little striking because I'm actually from not simply a small town, but actually the area that is 15 miles from the nearest small town. I grew up in northeastern Montana on a farm and ranch, and went to school what I thought was a big city, which is Bozeman, Montana, which at the time had 30,000 people. So you might guess that it was like coming to another country to come to Washington.
PJ, sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine. I'm very loud.
No, no, you're perfect.
But anyway, the thing was that when I came here, I was struggling to try to figure out what I was going to do with my life, and I was going to a fancy university.
Where'd you go?
Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies.
Yep, that's fancy.
And I have to say that I finally finished paying my student loan off 6 months ago.
Did your degree help you at all?
It certainly helped me because it brought me to Washington, D.C., and it certainly I got to meet a lot of really fascinating people.
But breaking up with a girl could do that, too.
That's true. It could. And you don't have to spend quite so much money, probably. But I don't really regret it because what it helped me to do was to figure out what I really thought my life should be about, because I was trying to decide whether I was going to be an adult and have a career, or be a human being with a life. And I decided that having a life was more important than a career. So much to the consternation of my parents, who did not go to college, I left school after graduating to work at a radical bookstore and live in a punk rock commune. which was the Positive Force House. And basically what happened was that D.C. is a place where you have the idealism of this country so brilliantly displayed on the mall. And you also have the homeless people dying outside of those wonderful monuments. And poverty right next to privilege. And this confused me a great deal and kind of broke my heart. But broke my heart in the way that our hearts should be broken, which is that you feel deeper and you think deeper and you want to live in a more real way. And so I didn't really know what to do after spending tens of thousands of dollars on this fancy education. But I knew I had to go deeper. And it happened that I went into the DC Punk Underground, which for the second time in my life, punk rock revolutionized my life, turned it upside down, or I would say turned it right side up. And basically everything that came from it, including the group We Are Family, is because of the DC punk scene and my encounter with some really amazing folks here. And also some really kind of ugly and sad and dangerous people. The very first punk graffiti I saw here in D.C. was actually white power graffiti.
Like Michelle Bachmann.
Well, I don't think it was her who wrote it, but it might as well have been. Actually, the head of the skinhead group at that time was an African-American woman, but she did apparently write or at least tolerate her cohorts writing racist, fascist graffiti. It's an interesting story, but essentially,
yeah, tell that story.
You can't. I can't tell it. Although I did write a book about that called Dance of Days. So if you want to learn more about that, then you can go to that book.
That was a good plug.
How did you find out about bands in Montana?
Well, what I said at the time, and it is indeed true, that if you were into punk rock in Montana in the late 70s, then either you were an incredible idealist or you were crazy as hell. And I was a little bit of both. And so when you have that kind of fanaticism wedded to that yearning for something better, when you find something that seems to you to be real in a sea of falsehood, then you pursue it with all your heart. And that's what I did. That's how I found out about all these bands, including DC bands like Bad Brains, Urban Verbs, and Minor Threat.
Yeah. And then you come to D.C. It's a second wave of punk that inspires you to start Positive Force. That
Indeed.
Continues. And recently, in the past few years, you guys started We Are Family. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, technically, we started We Are Family 7 years ago, but We Are Family, even though it does outreach and advocacy with senior citizens, works very closely with Positive Force as part of its larger mission of bringing together folks who are quite different, to bring together this rainbow of people that live here in Washington, D.C., and live here in this neighborhood in Parkview and Petworth and Columbia Heights, just extraordinary neighborhoods with a rich history and an even richer community of diverse people. And it's just a real privilege to be able to work with some of those folks and to try to build a community that has a place for everybody.
Do you think that people are just as influenced now the same way you were through punk rock or any sort of music to actually, like, you know, try and make a difference and not just sit there?
I have to believe so. I mean, clearly it's a different moment because much of what passes for punk rock today seems to be essentially party music of some sort. From what I can tell, or it's the music of the mainstream without much threat in it. At the same time, what we're really talking about, if you want to get past, you know, is it punk or is it not punk, is art. There's something deep and beautiful and liberating in art. At least it's always there as a potential. And if you believe enough in that, as an artist, you can make amazing things happen.
Are you an artist?
If I were to say I was an artist, I would be making a pretentious claim. I hope I am an artist in the same way that I hope I'm a punk, or I hope I'm a Christian, or I hope I'm a real American. But I would like to be an artist. I try to encourage people to view life as the most important kind of art that we can create, or that we can live, actually, because that's what it's about. And so, essentially, art has a way to reach deep into people, just like it reached deep into me and got past so many defenses and made me believe in not only myself, but in a different kind of world, a different kind of community. And so in that sense, you know, is there a movement that feels as powerful and as challenging as punk rock did at certain points? I don't know, but that possibility is always there. And so it's really about anyone who is sitting here or passing by on the street to make that happen. The art is out there. Whether it was created last week or last century, the power is still there if we open ourselves to it and believe in it enough to make it real. So I guess what I'm saying is, even though I'm 50, oh, soon to be 52 years old and a gray-haired dad these days, you know, I still believe in the power of art. And music in particular.
What do you listen to now?
Boy, that's a good question. I was listening to The Clash earlier today, but I've also recently been listening to Gil Scott-Heron, who was a big inspiration of mine, who lived actually not far from here, just down the hill in the Shaw neighborhood. What else do I listen to? You'll be excited to hear that I listened to Lady Gaga the other day, which was quite interesting.
Why?
Well, because I do think that, I mean, initially I thought there was just spectacle involved there and not a whole lot of there. But I have to say that the way that her fans respond to her, I don't quite understand it. But
well, the only problem with Lady Gaga is her music. Everything else about her is perfect.
In any case, I mean, she's definitely somebody who, you know, whether she is a true artist in the sense that I'm talking about, which essentially what that calls you to do is put your life on the line
in
one
way
or another.
And that way, yeah, she is.
I kept having volunteers who showed up at We Are Family who were essentially tipping their hat to her as an inspiration, and so I began to take her more seriously. I think she might be an artist.
Have you seen the show Glee?
I have.
What do you think of it?
I think it has the potential to be a lot better than it is. It seems to be a jukebox, basically, where people redo other people's songs.
Yeah.
Having said that, I mean, they address some serious themes there. In the end, I find it a little limited, but then that would be fair to say about anything almost on commercial TV. So actually, for commercial TV, it's not too bad.
What do you watch at home?
I almost watch
the fact
nothing
that you,
these
yeah,
days.
That's what I was expecting, yeah.
Although my wife would want me to admit that I am a fan of Chalk, the TV series Chalk, and Fringe.
Because you like big box stores, right?
I do. I love Buy More's. It's such a...
And Subway.
Exactly.
How could people get involved with Positive Force, and how could people get involved with We Are Family?
Well, it's very simple. I mean, if you want to, you could just chat with me before I head home to my wife and child. If not, then it's simple to email me at wearefamilydc@aol.com. That's the most easy email to remember, wearefamilydc@aol.com. Believe me, there's a zillion things that you could do. I guarantee you that any amount of time that you have, there's a need that a senior in the community will have. And in the process of helping that person, I hope and I believe that you'll find your life transformed in some way. I mean, that's how this... I mean, set aside the punk rock stuff for a moment. That's what kept me here in the first place. But what made D.C. my home in an even deeper way was going out to get to know seniors who grew up in Washington that was segregated, a Washington, D.C. that was decimated by riots, a Washington, D.C. who helped to give birth to the civil rights movement, a Washington, D.C. that lived through the drug wars.
Why don't you run for mayor?
Why don't I run for mayor?
No, I'm not joking. Do you like $1,900 a month SUV leases? Because if you do...
You know, actually, I don't like them because...
Then you should run for mayor.
But I don't need an SUV.
Exactly. Oh, because you're not a piece of shit? You can't run for office here? What's the
problem? No, I mean, honestly, I encourage anyone who feels a calling to run for mayor.
Here's your calling. Run for mayor.
But I have to have my calling from within.
Get a tattoo
as much as
and look
I like
in the
you,
mirror.
Brandon.
What the fuck, man? Just make it happen. We're going to No, go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, right on to anyone who wants to take that on. I mean,
no, not right. No, that's the problem. No, certain people shouldn't run for office because they're awful human beings. Why are you supporting them?
Okay, well, I'm assuming that you would take it on in the way that you are hoping that I would take it on, which is wholeheartedly really caring about the common good in the people.
Even half-heartedly would do a lot of good in this
city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I mean, this is one of my major problems in having a career or living the life that was put before me, is I can't do things half-heartedly, which I hope it reassures my wife, because we're still together, you know?
It's good for the marriage, but come on, man. All right. We're going to end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions.
Oh,
it's
this is great.
It's an awful book. Please pick a number between 160 and 240.
77.
160 and 240.
Okay, 160 and 240. You can tell I'm not listening very closely. Yep. That would be a negative in terms of being a mayor.
No, it wouldn't. That'd be the norm. Pick a number between 160 and 240.
Okay, how about 239?
Fantastic. Why what 239? We're retiring the book this year. That's why there's random numbers. 239. If you had a lot of money and could use it in any way you wanted, what would you do with it?
Wow. Quite honestly, if I had a whole lot of money and I could use it for whatever I wanted to, the first thing I would do is pay off the mortgage on my house so that I don't ever have the threat of having to work for anything that I didn't believe in ever again. Because, you know, once you actually don't have to pay things like that, you can have an awful lot of freedom. And then everything else that I had, I would put it into the revolution. And I'm not talking about a joke. I'm really serious about this. We need a revolution. We need a revolution of love and humility. I don't know that I could lead that, but I'd really want to be part of it.
Can I?
Absolutely. Yeah. We need everybody, we need it to be real, and we need it to be fun, and we need it now.
You're a good person. Don't stop.
You are very kind.
I know. I'm just honest. Here, have this to keep. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Mark Anderson. Play some music, PJ.
You, Me, Them, Everybody presents Sábado Gigante, Saturday, June 25th. We're throwing a party, and we're bringing back all our favorite guests. Broadcasting from Esmeralda's house, a show so gigante, we're going 10 hours. Don't miss Sábado Gigante, Saturday, June 25th. For more details, check out youmethemeverybody.com.
Coming to stage, one of my favorite stand-up comedians... In the fair city of Washington, D.C., please put your hands together, ready for Aaron Ryan, everybody. Aaron Ryan.
Yay! What's up? Thanks, guys. I'm Aaron Ryan. Let's just get right down to the jelly of this sandwich. Do you guys watch shows, like TV shows?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. I do, too. Yeah, we have something in common. I saw this show recently. It was called... I remember. It was called I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant is the name of the show that I saw. And it's actually in its fourth season, meaning there are enough women that didn't know they were pregnant for a long time. It's like they didn't know they were pregnant, like not for like a little while. It's perfectly normal, ladies, to not know that like for a while. But they don't know they're pregnant until they have a baby. And at that point, they're still kind of incredulous. They're like, no, are you serious? I'm not pregnant. So I'm watching the show and I'm thinking, like, I cannot imagine if TLC were going to follow me around for a number of months, like, what would they find out about me? It would be like, I didn't know you had to pay back school loans so quickly. Like, I didn't know there was alcohol in Kahlua. I didn't know blowjobs were cheating. I've seen Lady Gaga in concert 3 times. I still have no idea what she looks like. I mean, she doesn't really look like anything. She's a shapeshifter. So I'm watching, the show is just so ridiculous that I think it's going to put, like, all other reality shows to shame. I think it's going to put them all under. So what I think needs to happen is that they need to start combining forces with each other and making, like, super reality shows. So I've come up with a few to pitch to the networks, which are America's Littlest Top Model is one I want to see. Deadliest Chef is another one. 16 and Pregnant and Dancing with the Stars is a good one. My Super Sweet Intervention, I would like to see. Yeah, kind of like Brandon's anti-intervention. And then, the spinoff show, We Totally Knew You Were Pregnant. And, yeah, that's when, like, the family members get together and they're just like, well, you got kind of fat and you're, like, pretty slutty. And we had an idea. We thought you'd come to us first. You thought you'd come to us, but you didn't. What else I got going on here? So I was engaged before. Yay, I was engaged. But, and I'm not married and I'm no longer engaged. So you guys can do the math. I killed him. What? No, everything's fine. No, it was totally fine. It ended, like, pretty amicably, actually. Like, not that big a deal. But, like, you guys, I was engaged in real life, and I was also engaged on Facebook, which was a huge problem, because that means there was a period of time on my wall where it actually said, Aaron Ryan is no longer engaged, sad heart. And I know that Facebook isn't, like, a physical place, but you could hear the silence on my wall for the 2 to 3 week period after that, because, like, it was a real event and people were just like, ooh, scroll past that, and it really made everyone really uncomfortable. So finally, like, I posted something stupid a couple weeks later and, like, oh, actually, wait, that's not true. A weird kid from high school did like it. He liked it. It was the weird twin. You know how there's always, like, a set of twins in your high school and there's always a weird one? It was him. He liked it. He liked my status and I said I was disengaged. Yeah, so, like, a few weeks later, I post something stupid, like, Dear Mondays, you're boring, love, Aaron. All of a sudden, like, 15 people are like, oh, my God, I love you, you're so funny, call me immediately. Like, oh, okay. I love Big Macs so much. I love them. I went as a Big Mac for Halloween a couple years ago, and I convinced my best friend to be French fries, and it was just, like, the best Halloween ever. We weren't, like, sexy Big Mac and fries. We were, like, in, like, foam costumes. And it was just, like, so fun. We went to this party, and I was just, like, pouring red wine on her. I'm like, it's ketchup. Oh, my God. We're just having, like, the best time. And so I'm looking around, like, rolls around 2 a.m. looking around and can't find her anywhere. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe someone thought she was sexy French fries. I don't know. And so I go home. I waddle out of the party and, like, stuff myself into a cab. And I'm in a cab, and I'm heading home. And I get home, it's like 2:30 in the morning in D.C., and I realize that I have locked myself out of my apartment. And I don't know if you guys can imagine a place in my neighborhood that I might be able to go at 2:30 in the morning, dressed completely as a Big Mac, to wait for my landlord to call me back. I don't know if you guys can imagine that place, but I had to go to that place. I had to go to that very place. Dressed as a Big Mac. And you would think, I kind of had to psych myself up for it. I was like, you know what? It's, like, totally cool. It's not a big deal. Like, they probably have some sort of policy where they have to take in value meal items dressed as value meal items. It's, like, not that big a deal. It'll be totally fine. You guys, I got accused of loitering after 30 minutes. It was awful. I was like, excuse me, sir. I am your flagship item. Okay? I am your flagship item. Not fair. So that was a sorry Halloween. So you guys pumped about the summertime? Yay, yay! Even though game 6 of hockey is still on, I never understand how that works. But yeah, I'm pretty pumped for the summer, although I was so excited, I made, like, a really, like, the rookiest summer move ever, which is I bought Jergens 3-Day Express Natural Glow. which is like a self-tanning lotion. But it's like, I don't know, it's supposed to be just like a lotion. So it's like make you feel like, I don't know, more lotion-y, whatever lotion's supposed to do. And so like I put it on myself and nothing happened. And I was like, oh, whatever, it doesn't work. Like, no big deal, but, you know, that's fine. So about an hour later, I look at my arm and I'm sparkling. And I was like, all right, well, it just, you just sparkle, so that's kind of cool. It gives you a nice little glow. That's totally fine. And so I go to bed. And I wake up the next morning, and I smell weird. Most of my body is rusted. My arm is completely white, and my earlobe looks like it just got back from Cabo. Okay, do not get this. Do not get this stuff. Do not make the same summer rookie mistake. I've got maybe one more thing to do. Maybe two more. So I have this. I found a new. I got this new cookbook, you guys. It's called Google. And it's what you use if you just have. You can type anything, and I'm like, how do I make lasagna with paprika and a hot dog? And it just gives it to you. And Google's amazing for recipes. I don't have any cookbooks anymore. That's all I use. Except, do you guys know this one guy? Or this one chick, actually, usually, on when you find a recipe online, when you scroll down, she's always there. She's always fucking there. When you scroll down, it's just like, oh my God, I loved your recipe. It was so good. Only I substituted the sour cream for fat-free yogurt. My husband loved it. It's like, thanks, dick. Because it sounds like you already know how to make that recipe, and you sound like you might be like some sort of wizard magician chemist. I'm just looking for how to make macaroni right now, okay? Jerk.
Jerk is your tag?
Yeah, jerk. Jerk is my tag. Google is good for one more thing. I was using my boyfriend's computer recently, and I found his Google searches. And this is just the D's. Drunk animals. Do iPhones have buttons? Diaper jeans. Ew. Darkwing Duck. Doctor's Toenail. Gross. Doctor's Toenail DC. That sounds really urgent. Divorce, Barbie and Ken. Sad. And Daniel Ryan, that's my dad. Stalker. All right, thanks, guys. I'm Aaron Ryan.
Aaron Ryan, please put your hands. Sit down, sit down. You're good. Sit. Fell flat on that, PJ. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good.
Why did my fiance laugh louder than anyone when you said blowjobs aren't cheating? You were formerly engaged. Answer me.
Maybe because she thinks sex jokes. When I think something's uncomfortable, I laugh. So maybe she finds sexual jokes.
You're going to laugh through all this interview, aren't
you? Yeah, I guess so.
A Big Mac is not a value menu purchase.
That's not true.
Yes, that is true. A McChicken is a value menu purchase.
Oh, if we're referring to the... Okay, you're talking about the dollar menu.
Yeah, you can get four McChickens and maybe a small Diet Coke for your figure instead of one Big Mac.
On the dollar menu, they actually have something called a McDouble,
which
is different than a double cheeseburger.
That is correct.
Little known fact. Double cheeseburger has two slices of cheese, and
that
a McDouble
correct.
Only has one centered between the two burgers.
Yeah. So we've both been poor. That's fantastic. when did you decide to start doing stand-up?
When did I decide? I started in about 2008. I was doing improv, and...
How was that?
It was like, all right. I just like...
Yeah?
Yeah. You want
to play a game?
All right, yeah. No, it was okay.
Did you take classes?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it worth it? Did it make you funnier? Did paying people money to tell you how to say yes make you funnier, Aaron? Answer me, God.
Yeah, it didn't make me funnier, but it made me more confident, and that's what I needed.
More confident that the other people around you were not funny, so I should probably just be a stand-up?
Well,
why do I hate improv people so much? They're so positive.
Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Because they're not, but improv is not particularly funny, I don't think.
Then why did you do it? Was it a very long, like, management team
building
exercise?
Because I was bored and I was, like, sad. And I, like, it was my first year out of college. I had a 9-to-5 job. And
Shouldn't you just be, like, writing poetry or something?
I guess.
Do you have any poems to share?
I can probably recite a Robert Frost
poem. If you were
a good
improviser, you'd go, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And make it not funny. Why can't I make coffee well?
Do you put... I know... everyone I know, maybe my boyfriend, puts in too many coffee grounds. That's the only person that makes coffee for me.
Try that. Tell me what you think of that.
Okay. It tastes like hot chocolate, probably, because it's in that jar.
I hope not. See, if you were a bad improviser, you'd go, oh, you're going to drug me. What's the goal?
My stand-up goal?
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, fuck that. Life goal.
Oh, man. Well, I'm a teacher by day, so I would like to continue being a good teacher.
Hey, here's a hack teacher joke. Hey, I'm going to fuck my students. Okay, that's it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's
it. You hear that on any open mic in the city every night. I guarantee it.
That's
also, don't be shocked. Tracy Jordan rants against, or Tracy Morgan. What's his real name? I've forgotten. Is it Tracy Jordan or Tracy Morgan?
It's Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan ranting against homosexuals. Oh, wow. That never happens at a comedy show. Ever. Every night. Sorry, go ahead.
That whole thing's really confusing because all I keep seeing is the apology. I keep missing what he actually said.
He said he'd kill his son with a knife if he found out he was gay.
That sounds like
hilarious. What's the problem?
That sounds like something Tracy Jordan would say. I don't know about him, but
so Morgan's the real one.
Morgan's the real
okay,
one.
Okay, life goal.
Life goal is just to be really happy doing whatever I'm doing, if I'm teaching or doing comedy or.
Wow, that was exciting.
Yeah, I know.
Let's end this interview with a question from the
kids. Everyone goes skydiving. I don't know. That's a stupid one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an improviser's answer. I got to stop that. I'm burning bridges that don't exist. This is from the Kids Book of Questions. You need you to pick a number between 160 and 238.
175.
Thank you for actually listening to the numbers provided. We don't have that. You get 184. We're retiring the book. If you had to pick an age to be for your whole life, knowing that you would just stay at that age and never grow older, what age would you pick?
I would pick 25.
Why?
Because it wasn't until I turned 25 that I started even getting worried about turning another age. I was like perfectly happy to be that age. And you don't have, it's just awesome.
I like that age because you're like old enough to be a stripper where it's not sad. You could still be like in college and it's not weird. You could kind of date anyone if you're a female.
Yes.
It's cool. You should know how to handle your alcohol, but if you throw up, people are like, it's okay. She's still in her mid-20s.
Yep.
You could pretend to relate to the show Friends.
You can still be on The Real World, I think.
Yeah, you can still get on American Idol.
Yep.
Not Last Comic Standing because Greg Giraldo died.
You could stay in youth hostels.
You could stay in youth hostels. Yeah, that's a good age.
You could
good
rent
answer.
A car. You can also rent a car.
Yeah. Maybe 25 is the way to go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We're all going to kill ourselves until we're 25. That's it. Okay. Aaron Ryan, everybody, please
Thanks.
Put your hands together for Aaron Ryan.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.
All right, coming to the stage is one of my favorite comedians from Chicago. And I'm very, very happy that she's here, and I hope you are too. Please put your hands together, everybody, for Megan Gailey, everybody. Megan Gailey!
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so people listen to this at home, right?
Wherever they want.
Hello, people. Well, hello to all you, but hello, people at home. I look as dumb as I sound, so you're not missing anything that you're not seeing here. You're mad that the hockey game is on, I think. Okay, so I have like a perfect shot of being able to watch this. Like, I'm going to say dumb shit up here, but then I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, the Bruins are still winning, and I love being able to watch sports. I fucking love watching sports because it just lets me keep tabs on all the men that I'm trying to get me pregnant. Like, I can see you. Like, the Cardinals are in town tomorrow. I'm like, okay, I could fuck Albert Pujols. This could happen. Like, you never know. It could. I love sports, and people don't understand it. Like, my dream in life is to marry a disgustingly rich professional athlete. That's all I care about. And people get so mad at me when I say that. They're like, you're a gold digger, you're a jersey chaser. It's like, calm down. I'm not going to apologize for wanting to marry a man that makes millions of dollars, is never at home, and has a life expectancy of 46. Like, that just makes sense. Like, don't call me a gold digger. Just call me a practical human being. That's what my fucking nickname should be. And then they try and, like, talk you out of it. Oh, you're going to get cheated on all the time. Like, look at me. I have a sundress on and wedges. Obviously, someone's going to fucking cheat on me. Like, that's going to happen. And, like, my best friend from growing up, she just got engaged to a bobcat. Like, not a jungle animal, like a basketball player. And her life is great, and he cheats on her all the time. Like we do laundry, he's just having sex with B-list models. And she doesn't care. She does squats in the mirror. She looks great all the time. She has the best Facebook statuses. She goes to St. Lucia, like, 6 times a year, and it's like, I don't even know where the fuck that is, but it sounds awesome. Like, I will get HPV to go on a boat ride. That's fine. Sign me up wherever that line is. And it's like, cheating, that's not just for rich people. Poor people cheat all the time. There's an entire show about poor people cheating on other poor people, and it's just called Cheaters. That's all it is. It's just poor people yelling at their ugly, fat spouses in the parking lots of strip malls. Like, so I don't want to break up with my cheating husband outside of a Ruby Tuesday. That's not how I want that shit to go down. I love salad bars, I do, but I just don't want it to happen. Like, if I'm breaking up with my cheating husband, you better believe I am floating in a crystal hot air balloon, which defies physics. I'm going to be blasting fireworks out of my fingertips, just taking my prenup, dipping it in chocolate, while black angel babies dump diamonds on my tits. Like, I've seen Basketball Wives. That shit looks fun. That is fine. All I care, your life goal when you asked that question, my life goal is to get married. That's all. I just want to get married. That's it. I'm crazy about weddings. Like, I'm so delusional. I watch, like, 6 hours of wedding shows a day. And, like, the other 18 hours of the day, I just imagine what my wedding is going to be like. And on the wedding shows, there's never a groom, ever, because, like, apparently you don't matter, I guess. And I get that, because when I imagine mine, there's never... It's just me, like, 15 pounds lighter than this. You don't know what I'm capable of in 3 weeks. I'm just in white, dancing with my dad. There's fucking rockets of money. Michael Bublé is feeding me red velvet cake. Like, there, no groom. Thanks. Not needed here. No one cares. And... My favorite show right now, we have a lot, TLC. My favorite show right now is Say Yes to the Dress, which is amazing. But there's a spinoff now, which is even better. It's Say Yes to the Dress, Big Bliss. And it is for fat girls finding wedding dresses, which is incredible. Like, because my biggest dream in life is to get married, and my biggest fear is to be morbidly obese. And, like, somehow these women have merged the two together. And they are living the dream nightmare. And, like, it's beautiful. Like, when you see an attractive couple in love, you're like, nah, that's not real. Like, it's, but when you see two fat people love each other, like, that is real, because that is all they have. Like, there's a saying that's like, when you're trying to find a job, finding a job is your job. No, when you're 400 pounds, trying to find someone that wants to fuck you for the rest of your life is your job. And that show shows that they made it happen, and that's incredible. It's amazing. And, like, it's so, like, I'm so proud of them, but I'm so disgusted by them at the same. It's like when I see a Make-A-Wish kid, I'm like, oh my God, you have leukemia. That's awful. But, like, you're going to get anything you want. Like, you can cuddle a dolphin if you want. You can make that happen. And not even, like, a sea urchin, like a fucking running back. Anything you want, you can do. It's confusing to be me. Because when I get really, really drunk, I'll be like, I want to marry an eagle. And people are like, you can't do that. That's an endangered species. And I'm like, no, not a bird. Like, a minority that can run fast. Like, that's maybe even a seahawk. That would be, I'd take a Hasselbeck. That's fine. Whatever you want to throw my way. I'm glad to be in D.C. D.C. and Chicago are, they're similar. Chicago has a lot of crazy people. And today I saw my favorite thing you can ever see in any city. I saw a fat girl with a yoga mat. Which is, like, the sweetest thing on earth. Like, yeah, keep stretching. That's going to work. Yeah. All right. Yeah, put fried chicken on your salad. That's gonna happen for you, sweetheart. I'm kind of an angel, a little bit. I am. I'm actually a very... I work at a retirement community, which is really awesome. Actually, it's very sad. It's very, very sad because, like, all of your friends die all the time. But it's also, like, really fun sometimes because, like, so do all of your enemies. And, like, that is incredible. Like, I don't know if anyone here has ever worked somewhere where you hate someone so much you wish they would die, and then they do. And then you find a new person to hate so much that you wish they would die, and then they do. And then it happens 72 more times in one calendar year. But you feel fucking incredible. Like, I don't even want to look at anyone there. I'm just like, they're going to fall over. I love flowers and cake, but I don't want any more of it. We're all getting fat. No more wakes here. No more wakes. The old people, they love to have causes that they believe in. Most of them love breast cancer. They love breast cancer. Which is weird. Like, I don't know why you would love something that murders people. And I tell them that, and then they're like, no, well, it's breast cancer awareness. And I'm like, yeah, we are aware that breast cancer is a disease. We understand that my breast cancer murdered my grandmother. I am aware that I don't need to watch the entire fucking month of October in the NFL, everyone wearing pink gloves. I get it. Like, no. Pierre Garçon, don't drop any more passes in fucking pink gloves. And, like, who decided that breast cancer would merge and partner with the NFL? Like, what does Ben Roethlisberger care about breast cancer? Like, he cares about breasts. He's made that very apparent. But I don't think breast cancer... Like, who was sitting down like, oh, yeah, who should we do this marketing scheme with? Oh, yeah, how about the NFL and their league of rapists? That's a great fucking idea. My mom is here tonight. Happy birthday, Mom. It's her birthday. Happy birthday. And she tells me that I shouldn't make fun of breast cancer. She's like, don't make fun of breast cancer because you're going to get breast cancer. And I'm like, okay, you can't jinx yourself breast cancer, first of all. And it's like, yeah, I hope I do get breast cancer because then everyone will forget what a bitch I've been for the past 25 years. Just fucking buy me pink blenders and shit. I'm single. That's why I was so excited when you said you were engaged. I was like, yay! And then you said you weren't. And I was like, oh, something happened. I want to be engaged, but I'm not. I'm single. I recently got broken up with, and I should have known this relationship was never... Fuck you. I wanted it to work. I should have known it wasn't going to work, though, because the first time I tried to give this man a blowjob, he turned it down. And it's like, okay, you're obviously a serial killer. Like, that's the only... rational explanation. Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, are you crazy? Like, a penis is disgusting. It is and when I was 12 years old, my sweet little mother told me to never put a man's dick in my mouth because that's what they pee out of. And that's true. That is true. And we still do it. Like, your penis is gross and my mouth is delicious and awesome. And sometimes I put lobster in it. Like, how dare you not want to put your disgusting pee-pee stick in my awesome shellfish hole? Like, who the fuck do you think you are? Happy birthday, Mom.
Megan Gailey, everybody. Really? You're doing the music thing now? Now... How are you, Megan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Do you miss being not in Chicago for 4 days?
No, not
good.
At all.
I
not.
Miss it. Your father's here as well as your
yeah.
mother.
Oh, yeah, my dad, too.
They're still together.
They are, yep, they're still together.
How did that work out? 32 years of wedded bliss.
Blooded, I think he said blooded bliss.
Blooded bliss.
Whatever.
Well, if everything's working, you want it to be like that. Why did you decide to do comedy?
Because, well,
let's be honest, you don't look like the normal stand-up.
Right.
Okay. Actually, neither of our comics look like the normal stand-up. What's wrong with you two women? Why are you doing this?
I really like boys a lot.
But sad, depressing failures of
boys? Well, I didn't know that.
Boys?
I was just like, where can I meet as many men as possible?
Open mic.
I'll go to... And then I got there, and I was like, uh-oh, this is real scary.
Who's
There's
your...
so many hoodies here. none of you are rich. I don't know what the fuck's happening. But then they just, they were like Spider-Man. They just shot like a combination of sadness and cum at me and dragged me in. And
it works. Your ideal athlete to marry right now?
Dwight Freeney.
From?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Why?
Well, I've always loved him, and he's a defensive end, which I feel like if shit went down, he could, like, really murder some people.
Why not go with a line? Linemen don't make that much money. What about a linebacker?
Oh, no, he's crazy, and he can do, like, spin moves. I mean, he's magical.
All right. Why would you have to lose 15 pounds in 3 weeks for your wedding? Wouldn't you have more notice than 3 weeks for your wedding?
Well, I'm saying I would keep saying that I was going to lose the weight, and then I would be doing all the like taste testings and shit, and then I'd be like, "Oh my god, this is bad." And
where are you going to have your inevitable athlete wedding?
Right now, I want to have it. It's called West Baden. It's a resort in Indiana. I spent a whole day where I looked up where I wanted to have it, and that. There's a lot of different locations. There's also a spa there, so I feel like everybody would have something to do. There's a golf course.
Honeymoon?
The honeymoon, well, I wanted to go sailing around the Greek islands, but I went by myself instead, and it was really fucking fun. So now I think I just want to take a rocket to Jupiter.
What's going to be served at the wedding?
Well, we were discussing that tonight. Definitely lobster. Every kind of shellfish possible. If you're allergic, you're probably poor, and I don't want you at my wedding anyways. Just a shellfish buffet.
How many people have told you you're like Lisa Lampanelli, but good?
More than five.
Hey, well, you're like Lisa Lampanelli, but good.
Thanks.
Two possible album titles. Awesome Shelf is Whole. Uh-huh. The Dream Nightmare.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. You're really fucking good, and you make me feel unfunny.
Oh.
Thanks to your family for showing up. It's so weird that you have a supportive family.
I know. I know. They're very nice.
I don't get that. If I had a supportive family, I would not be doing this.
I know.
I'd be rich. Oh, well. I tell it to my poor fiance. I'm sorry. I'm going to ask you a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stack, PhD.
Okay.
It's an awful book. I need you to pick a number between 160 and 238.
217.
Why 217?
That's my birthday, of course.
For the listener at home, that's her father. He's white, by the way, apparently. You have, like, the best background ever.
I know. I should, yeah. No, if I fuck my life up.
You're still fine.
I only have myself. Well, yeah, I'll still have, like, a car and a home. I'll be fine. And, like, a membership to something that I don't ever go to.
I love this so fucking much. Because I should hate you. Everyone should hate you, but we all love you because you're funny.
Oh, thanks.
We all want to have gangs. We want you to be the enforcer. I think that's the thing. 217. If you were to be stranded for 10 years on a tiny island paradise about the size of a football field, Jesus Christ, how many people would you want with you, and who would they be? Make believe you would be in no danger and would have a place to sleep as well as any food you needed. This is your life!
I know. Okay, so it's the size. Okay, well, I would want the entire 2005 Indianapolis Colts roster there. And then I would want the same.
Wait. Would Tony Dungy be invited?
Oh, absolutely.
His dead son.
Oh, yeah, his dead son. We would weaken in Bernie's, his dead son.
You're on the island, too.
We can do whatever the fuck, but this is my magical island where there's food. And I can have football players. So 2005 Indianapolis Colts and then the 2005 New England Patriots. But I would be the ruler of the island. So they would just play a real AFC championship game every day. And the Colts would win every fucking time. And then they would carry me around. And I wouldn't have to have sex with any of them. Because I don't even think I'd want to. But they would all just feed me one grape at a time. And then we would go catch lobster.
Let's make that dream happen. I think with about 5 years, we can make that happen. Let's do plugs really quick. You're for the online community.
I'm in a group called Your Funniest Friends. that you can look up at yourfunniestfriends.com. There's three boys in it. They're all really normal. Oh. And Joe Fernandez, okay. Jeff Steinbrenner, okay. And Lane Pichel.
Yeah, Joe's actually, out of those three, I'd say Joe is the most attractive man.
Yeah, they're Joe's all real, a good looking they're dude. All real cute and normal and fun. Yeah, Jeff's a looker too.
No, I'm going to go with Joe.
Okay.
I'm throwing the gauntlet down.
He'll be really
sexual preference. I go with Joe Fernandez, everybody.
He'll
Joe
be
Fernandez.
About that. So you can check that out.
I think your parents and family agree with me. Thank you, Gailey's. Megan Gailey, please put your hands together for Magic.
Thank
Patrick's
you.
Coming up.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for sticking around. I am speaking with Patrick Kagongo. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Actually, you are not. You're pronouncing the corruption, but the correct pronunciation from Lugande is Chigongo. But the thing is that it's really, really difficult for Anglophiles to say that. So we've just been going off of the corruption. And if you give it about 20 or 30 years, nobody will remember how to pronounce it correctly.
Is that good or bad? I can't tell.
I've been dealing with it.
Where are you from?
My family's from Uganda, but I was born in the States. I was born in New York.
You were born in New York. Why are you in D.C. if you were born in New York?
You want the Reader's Digest version or the long version?
Reader's.
Undergrad, grad school, bands.
Bands? What bands are you in?
So I'm in a band called Ra Ra Rasputin. I'm also in a group called the State Department as well. I mean, I do have a job, but that's not important.
What's your job? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I work for a labor rights nonprofit. Mostly.
That's good. You help the world.
No, I don't.
You should quit your job.
No, I shouldn't. It's subsidizing my art.
You are in two of the best bands in the city. How did that happen?
Now you're just stroking my ego.
That is correct. Because we need you to play music and be happy. Do you want a sip of my alcohol?
Oh, I've got some of my own.
You have beer. What are you drinking tonight?
Hefeweizen.
Was it weird having Mark Anderson here and him not drinking, or were you outside smoking cigarettes?
No, not at all. I actually have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
I do too, but I felt weird drinking in front of him.
Big deal. It's a free country, isn't it?
Somewhat.
No, it's a question of choice.
It is a question of choice, but if you can't pay your tab, come on.
No, you have to look at it this way. That
educate me, sir.
Him choosing not to drink is just that. It's a choice. And
it's
us choosing
boring.
To drink.
No, it's not fun.
It's not boring.
Really?
It's actually, you know, it's a bit of a...
Am I losing you already?
No, you're not. Okay. It's a live and let live sort of situation. It's neither good nor bad.
All right. You're nice.
No, I'm not.
Why aren't you nice? What's wrong with you?
You haven't spent a weekend with me, have you?
What do you do on the weekend?
I'm not going to tell you about this
tell
past weekend.
Tell me one awful thing you've done.
One awful thing I've done?
What would make your parents ashamed? You want me to go first?
Yeah, you. Go ahead.
There's no God. Continue. Sorry, Gailey's. I'm sorry. Irish Catholic, I'm assuming.
I don't know. Probably spending an evening with a friend of mine, smoking weed, drinking mushrooms. No.
Drinking mushrooms?
No.
How does that happen, sir?
Taking mushrooms, drinking champagne all night.
And taking mushrooms?
And talking a lot of shit. And being a rude person.
Being a rude, that's the best you could come up with? You're a goddamn saint.
I try.
I have very low standards and saints, apparently. You're going to play some music. What are you going to play for us?
Well, so probably to give some context. So the main group I play in is Rara Rasputin, and the thing is about that is that a lot of the music is heavily programmed, a lot of stuff on laptops and computers and on keyboards. And so the interesting challenge was how to strip these songs down and see if you could actually make them work. But I remember I had watched a documentary about Vince Clarke, who was briefly in Depeche Mode, went on to form a group called Yaz, and then I think for like the last 25 years has been in Erasure. Showed him in his home studio with all of his synthesizers, and he said, you know, I use none of this for writing. All of his songs are written on acoustic guitar.
Really? That's interesting.
And so he's like, it's really about the very basic melody. And
how do you guys write?
So with Rara, what will end up happening, well, it's different. For a State Department, it's more of we'll jam around things, and then we will whittle them down into a song. For Rara, you know, we'll have a loop or something that's pre-recorded that's been done on the laptop or on a keyboard that's been programmed, and then build on top of that, and then remove certain pieces of programming so that the sound is a little bit more organic. You really should have a pop filter on this mic.
What do you think of PJ, our sound guy?
Always be nice to the sound guy.
Fuck PJ, I'm sick of that motherfucker. We're going to end this interview with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. PJ's been great. Wink! He's behind me. I need you to pick a number between 160 and 238. Also, he's getting paid in whiskey, so, like...
I haven't received my whiskey yet.
You want whiskey?
Yeah, that would be
what
nice.
What kind?
Not even... You buying?
Yeah, what do you want?
Man, let me get that Jack Daniels right quick.
Okay. People are disgusted by his choice of Jack Daniels, which is hilarious. All right, pick a number, buddy. 160 to 238.
199.
199. Why 199? Are you out of your mind? Sorry.
Close to 200, I don't know. First thing that
why
I
not just
of.
Pick 200 then?
That'd be over the top.
Yep, that's exactly why. That makes total sense. 199. If a friend gave you a gift you didn't like, would you act as though you really did like it?
That's the polite thing to do, isn't it? I mean, what am I supposed to
do? You are a polite man, aren't you?
Most of the time. I mean, what am I supposed to like, man, this sucks, sorry. And you can always find a use for something. One, re-gift it. Two, eBay it. Three, if it's an ugly Cosby sweater, wear the shit out of it.
That works because you're a thin man. And you don't have to worry about getting dates. That's my assumption for the listener at home. You don't go home alone a lot, do you?
Actually, yeah, I do.
That's by choice, sir, and you know it.
Exactly.
Okay,
I'm
so,
a reasonable man.
Ugh, so nice and not like me at all. Patrick's going to set up and play. Please put your hands together for Patrick Agongo, everybody.
Do you want to get You, Me, Them, Everybody audio programming without even thinking about it? Do you use the fantastical Phonotronic Audiograph program, iTunes? Have we got a solution for you? Subscribe to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Go to iTunes and search You, Me, Them, Everybody. Or do it the lazy way. Go to youmethemeverybody.com and hit the big subscribe in iTunes button. That's youmethemeverybody.com. It's the bee's knees.
Without further hesitation, Patrick, whose last name I will not pronounce because it will be incorrect. Is that okay with you, sir?
It's Kigongo is fine.
Kigongo, everybody. Patrick Kigongo, everybody.
So, thank you once again to Brandon for inviting me, and thank you to our two lovely comedians, because I had a really good laugh. Although, it must have been incredibly awkward to give or make a blowjob joke in front of your father. Can we get a round of applause for Dad for being a true G and just being like, you know what, she's a grown-ass woman. She can do what she wants with her life. Just don't let her talk like that in my house. So this first song is a really old one. I wrote it when I was about 19. And it was the night before I went to see Brian Jonestown Massacre for the very first time. Went out to Micah for a party with some friends of mine. And there was a girl there, and I was checking her out, and she was checking me out. And then I blew it. And since then, I've never managed to pull an art girl. It's always been scientists and things like that. And it's called Art School Girlfriend. Okay, so folks at home, folks at beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Looking Glass Lounge, an oldie. And I haven't played this one in a really long time.
just another Frank Black left winger. She came to and asked for Real Madrid. Smiled at her and I told her that I never did. As she knocked her back, something clear. Couldn't believe she crossed the Aegean to meet me. She came from Embassy around Cape Town. Glasses said she was down with illustrated design. I just wonder if tonight was she mine. I want an art school girlfriend who paint till the sun comes up. Art school girlfriend who don't believe in love. Art school girlfriend who bring a book to the show. Art school girlfriend. Art school girlfriend. No point in leaving, got no place left to go. In my head, stranger's bed, nowhere to be found. Walk away another day, you're so classless and clean. Up to New York, I'm gonna see your show. An art school girlfriend who don't believe in love. Art school girlfriend who paint till the sun comes up. Art school girlfriend who bring a book to the show. Art school girlfriend. Art school girlfriend.
So now, oh, well, thank you. A toast. I used to live up the street from here, but I'm not really much of a, oh, I live up the street from that bar. I should probably chill there all the time. Make your appearances rare, but make them count.
Don't tell them that. I'll be opposite.
No. There's always going to be some dude who's going to be like, I'm just posting up the bar like it's my second living room. Anyway, so now we'll move into a couple rah-rah songs. This is an older one called Sundowning that we used to play quite a bit. We had a couple cracks at recording it. Never quite figured it out, and maybe one day we'll get it. So it's a little bit quieter. So if you could tell those people watching the hockey game that, for Christ's sake, can it just end already? You know? Summer. There's no ice in summer. This song is called Sundowning.
Started off dark and stormy, but the rain was warm. And when you took your first breath, it was the biggest relief, so you cried out loud. Such a striking thought when you take your first step and you start to fall. As the horizon reaches out and grabs you away, I wouldn't want you to ever have to alone, all alone. When you go, I'll hold you close and tight, skin and bones of mine. Came out disconnected, but your words were warm. And when you took your last breath, it was the biggest relief, so you cried out loud. such a saddening thought, knowing you weren't here for long. And I'd do almost anything to bring you back here with me. I wouldn't want you to ever have to alone, all alone without me. When you go, I'll hold you close and tight, like skin and bones of mine. To ever have to go alone, all alone without me. When you go, I'll hold you close and tight, the skin and bones of mine.
This next one is off a record we put out at the end of last fall. It's called Montreux. I can show you around this town for a while until you say you have to leave. You always say you have somewhere you have to be. Here you are with me right now. I can help you with what you need until you finally have to get up again. It's hard to see out there in the dark with everyone else in the light. I know you do the same for me. And all this time you still came through. I can show you around this town for a while until you say you have to leave it here. You always say you have somewhere you have to be, but here you are again with me. I can show you around this town all night, all night, all night again. It's hard to see out there in the dark with everyone else in the light. I know you do the same for me. And all this time you still came through. I know you do the same for me. And all these times you still came through. I know you do the same for me. And all these times you still came through. It is a little bit strange playing these songs in that. I'm not the singer in either band in Rara Rasputin or the State Department, but you hear the same songs at practice and at shows, you eventually pick up on them, and I'm on the record somewhere doing backup vocals for both bands, but so this last one is going to be a cover song, and it's kind of like an unfinished business song. So I played a house party last summer with State Department that kind of ended in a near riot. The drummer, he collapsed from heat exhaustion, and it was kind of a wild night. And my girlfriend at the time was very pissed off with me, and she left. And she walked out. I think we had an argument about something. And oh, it's not funny actually. So there was a bunch of us who straggled around and stuck around after the dust had settled, and you know, we were just kind of chilling and playing guitar and singing and such. So we, you know, end up singing a couple of covers really badly. But so this is to try and kind of make up for that. And it goes out to my friend Kaveri, who was at that very party. And it's an obvious one, but it's a favorite. It's called The Killing Moon by Echo and the Bunnymen. It's from the album Ocean Rain, which is 1984. I think when they put it out, the label said, oh, it's the best album ever made. And it is. But only a band from Liverpool could get away with saying that.
Under blue moon I saw you, so to whom you'll take me, up in your arms too late to beg you, or cancel it, oh I know it must be killing time, unwillingly mine, fate up against your will, through the thick and thin, he will wait until you give yourself to him. In starlit night I saw you, so cruelly you kissed me, your lips magic were, your sky all hung with jewels, the killing moon will come too soon, fade up against the well, through the thick and thin, he will wait until you give yourself to him. Under blue moon I saw you, so soon you'll take me, up in your arms too late to beg you, or cancel it, oh I know it must be a killing time, unwillingly mine, fade up against your will, through the thick and thin, he will wait until you give yourself to him. Fade up against the wind, through the thick and thin, he will wait until you give yourself to him.
Stick around. There's going to be some more drinking.
Patrick, you are very good. I like that his singing voice is quieter than my talking voice. That's sad. I could not get away with covering Echo and the Bunnymen anywhere. That was beautiful. If I'm correct, that song appears in the motion picture Empire Records, which I have read out loud. This gentleman is not having a good time anymore. Good thing the show is over. Let's stretch it out some more. Okay, so I do this thing called Brandon Weatherby Reads the Classics. And I read movies. I am the best at it, because I'm the only one that's ever done it. I don't even do cocaines. No. So what I did was I read the script of Empire Records from start to finish for no reason in an art gallery that I curated, which makes me the biggest hipster of all time in terms of Washington, D.C. Patrick was amazing. Please put your hands together for Patrick. Megan was amazing. Aaron was amazing. Mark was a nice guy. We had a fun time tonight. If this was only the show we captured on video, it would have been much better. I also want to thank a very important person that's never really helped out with the show here before, and that's PJ. PJ did a fantastic job tonight. That's why he's on his third Jim Beam Rye on the Rocks, and let's try to get to number four. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Michelle Bachman wants to kill all the black people. Please play the song. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.